Well, good morning to all of you today. Happy Wednesday, right? I'm used to saying happy Monday, but now it's Wednesday already. Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People, live today with Linda Sims here on WGH Talk. All right, now, we also stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. I have to get my paper here. Okay, now, also, you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or call in during this live broadcast to ask questions or to make comments with my guest for today. That telephone number is 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. Now, once you call in, you are live as well. So don't be shy. If you have a question, please take advantage of this opportunity. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and that's starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC. The location is 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. And Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. This will take place September the 17th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio. Phone there is 740-262-0939. And thank you for those of you who faithfully support me, you listeners out there. I may not know all of you name by name, but thank you so much for your support. And if you are a newcomer or this is your first time listening to A Voice of a People, I thank you and I pray that this will not be your last time tuning in. Right. And I was looking at the date, August the 31st of 2022. There only remains 122 days left in this year. And my, how fast August slipped away. And I don't know if I'm the only one who has seen this or understand this or realize this, but it seems like time has sped up, right? It's going faster than what it has been. Seems like it, right? Okay, and maybe that's every year. It starts out kind of slow in January, and then it kind of filters down, and then toward the end, it kind of speeds up. Right? Right. So, at this time, I do like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is entitled, Natural Flexibility. Okay. Natural flexibility is the thought for today. As soon as I can pull it up, hold on. With humility and love, flexibility becomes natural. When I come across someone who is not being cooperative, I need to become humble and try to understand what the other person is communicating. If not through words, at least through actions. When I am able to listen with love and understanding, I will not be rigid anymore, but will be able to adapt to communicate and cooperate with others. I guess, you know, sometimes we do have a tendency to run off before we get the full understanding of what a person is trying to convey to us or trying to tell us or trying to make sense of. And sometimes we're not even really focusing on what people are saying. We hear them, but we're not really what you call listening. Right? I have a couple of daughters like that. It's like I'm talking to them. They hear me talking, but they're really not listening. Because then they'll come back and say, well, you didn't say that, but yes, I did say that. You just weren't listening. So, and I guess, you know, any of us can be guilty of that, you know. So let us learn to be flexible. Let us take on the thought for today with humility and love. And let us be focused on what people are saying to us when they're talking. Or at least be polite enough to say, what was that? I kind of missed what you said. Could you repeat that to me and for me? Because I want to be able to respond in the right way. Right? Right. So, we live and we learn. And we learn by living. And I was just saying yesterday, if we live through a whole day and didn't learn anything new, it's almost like a day wasted. We should learn something new every day. Okay? So, and like it also said, people can communicate through words or through their actions. And if their actions do not meet their words, then there's something wrong there. There is a disconnect there, right? So, let us, our body and our words line up, and let us be or speak with clarity with other people that they may understand what we are trying to say. So that is the thought for this hour, natural flexibility. Okay, so, waiting on my guests this morning, and they have not arrived yet, so we will try to move on. So that means you'll be moving on with me until they come, or, I don't know, maybe I can get a stand-in. Let me try that. Okay. I mean, I really have a lot to say. It's just that it's easier than when you do have guests and they're on their way. At least I didn't get a word saying they were not going to appear or be here. Let me double check. And maybe they have the time wrong. I don't know. So, just bear with me a moment. Okay. Just a second.
Take a minute. Come in and stay until my guests come, if they're coming.
Stand-in. Woo! Thank God for extra people, right? Do you feel like that? Okay, but he doesn't want to be on camera, so you get to look at my face today. Hey! How are you doing out there, world? What's new in the news? Has anyone been following the news? What's going on? I'm going to have to make best of my guest not being here right now, so... Okay, was I ready to go on? No. By myself? No, not today. I was not ready for that, so. Let me do the best that I can do. Just, what a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what happens, no matter what turns up today. We just have to, I'm talking to myself right now. I just have to do my best at what I can do, but I will rejoice and be glad in this day. So, if you can think of something that I can, it just, it's, nothing's on my mind at the moment. Do you have those moments when there's nothing on your mind to talk about? Okay. So, we do have our 41st annual Marian Popcorn Festival coming up September the 8th, 9th, and 10th. This usually takes place downtown Marian, and on the 8th, which is on a Thursday, is usually the first day of the parade. And people line the streets up with their lawn chairs like the day before, and then they turn off all the streets, right? So, where you can't travel. And they do that on a Tuesday. So, next Tuesday, order yourselves accordingly because downtown will be closing down the streets. And I think the only thoroughfare will be South State Street Overpass or, what's that, Prospect Street Overpass? No, that won't be open either. So you'll have to go around a different way. Right. Absolutely a different way. Well, I have a stand-in. Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, me too. Purple is number four. One, two, three, four. Okay, here we go. We're going to come up with something today.
Is that the right? Oh, that is the right one. Look at
Yes,
that.
absolutely. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for
You know,
standing in.
that's what I do.
Thank God for you,
Well, you know, someone's got to do
Right, absolutely.
I don't know who was your guest supposed to be.
And they may be still coming. I just.
Just incognito.
Right, they
Just
haven't texted me.
disappeared off the face of the earth.
That's true. So true.
All right.
And did I bring my calendar? I don't even know. Because I'm trying to get used to this morning
Oh,
time.
tell me about it.
It just kind of sneaks up on me, and then I'm rushing, and I'm in a hurry, and I leave things, and just thank God I made it, right?
I understand that.
Right, but I want a good show. So I haven't even been in the news lately to see what's going on in our community or in our world. There is something going on in September, though. So, have you read the papers or listened to the
I
news?
mean, we certainly have a plethora of papers at our doorstep, don't we?
Yes.
I have yet to read most of any of them. But what is the next big event coming up in Marion? The Popcorn Festival?
The Popcorn Festival is the next big event going on in Marion. And 41st. I don't even know who the entertainers are going to be.
Well, I know one is Lita Ford. She was a rock and roll singer back in the 70s and 80s, starting with the Runaways and then solo, and has had a pretty illustrious career since then. So it's kind of like last year they had Great White, so they're kind of doing a at least one night, I guess, a rock and roll theme, which is kind of interesting for a free concert. I'll take it.
Right. Today is the 31st, right?
Yes, it is.
I'm just.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah,
Like,
it
where'd
is.
the month go? I don't know.
I'm just double checking, I'm like, now, did I do something wrong? But no, 31st. Okay, I know when I had Jeff on here last week, he was talking about, well, he really wasn't talking about it, but I don't think I hear too much about Ukraine and the war that's going on there. All I hear about all the money that we're sending over there.
I try to stay away from some of that news because you really got to take some of the grain of salt because you really only see what they want you to see. It's, I don't know.
Okay.
I tend to keep my opinions out of that territory for a reason because somebody out there will be like, "Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about," and they'd be right. So
Right.
I'm not going to attempt it like some people. I guess I could always rely on the wonderful Facebook for those insightful opinions by people who have no idea what they're talking about. Do you notice that a good 99% of people have no idea what they're talking about?
Yes.
Just they just don't.
Yes, that is so true. And I think people are so used to faking it,
I think I heard a card away. We might be in
Did you?
luck.
Okay. I hope so. Oh my, that would be great.
Of course, on this side of the street, any kind of sound comes through. And there's always an emergency every other week. Or every day, really. It's always sirens.
Oh yeah, that's really been on the rise.
Look at that.
Yeah, that sounds like my guest coming in. That's great. That is great. Yeah, come in, come in, come in, come in, come in, and have a seat. Yes. Good morning. Have a seat, have a seat. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Oh, we're already live. Let me get the camera on you.
Hello.
And you are?
Marcus.
Marcus. And what's your name?
My name's Vicky.
Vicky. Okay. You have to pronounce your last name for me.
Well, McClellan, but it's a lot of Kellen. Different ways. Yep.
Okay. That's where you pronounce it, McClellan.
Yes.
Okay, great. I think I got that right earlier. Okay. And you are from?
Boyd Funeral.
Boyd Funeral Home. Mm-hmm. So this would be my first interview with someone in that profession. But thank you to A Voice of a People.
Thank you for asking us.
Yes, absolutely. I got your name from Ed Pickett.
Oh, Ed Pickett. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yep. Yes. He let me know that you and your brother are in business together at Boyd Funeral Home. So is this your mother?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yes.
Nice to meet you.
Yep.
Nice
and she works in the business with us.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
That's probably my brother.
Oh, he's coming. Okay, so we have three in here. Well, come on in. Oh, wow. Let me see if we have another chair.
Well, I can get that one right there.
That one there.
Okay.
That red one. Swivel one. That's your
So
work.
This is online.
Yes.
And we do have a camera and...
Alrighty.
Okay. There now, who's the oldest? What's your name?
Michael.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Michael. I'm Linda Sims.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Welcome to A Voice of a People, my show here on WGH Talk. And I really don't know where to begin, but I guess I should begin with the mother. I mean, she's the oldest, right, in being in the business. And how long have you been in Boyd? Are you related to Boyd's?
Yes. My parents were Phil and Carol Boyd.
Okay.
So it is family Well, with my kids, it's four generations now. So,
really? Okay.
Yep.
Fourth generations. That's good. That's really good. So, and, you know, I don't really know what kind of questions to ask as far as the business is concerned, because that's something people try to shy away from until they really have to be, you know,
that's
in front
true.
Of them. Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about death, and we understand that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a taboo subject.
Right.
And that's understandable. It's unfortunate, though, because I think sometimes we need to talk about it and kind of get ready for it. I mean, it's something that we're all going to experience, and everyone in our family is going to experience. So sometimes it's just better just to get it out there, and let's plan for it like we plan for other things, and just, you know, let's figure it out sometimes before it happens.
Right.
That's probably the best way to look at things. So
that's true. That's true. Because we never know where death is.
We never, never, ever know.
And that's the saddest part.
It certainly is.
You know, that we don't know where it is, and we're not ready or equipped for it, or our mind isn't set on it. Just like, you know, when the young gentleman who was murdered, you know,
a
couple of weeks ago, you know, who was thinking that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just pray that the parents had those things in order, like insurance on their children. So, wow. So, what do you do at Boyd's? What's your...
Well, we kind of do everything. I'm just a funeral director myself personally, but these two are dual licensed to be funeral directors and embalmers.
Okay.
We do a lot of removals, a lot of yard work and handiwork around the building, that kind of stuff. Me and him kind of do right now. That's why he's dressed like this. He's actually helping us out on the labor side of things.
Okay. You can share mics.
Oh, all right. Scoot that over.
Yeah, you can share mics.
And I also take care of a lot of the marketing side of things, but a lot of the ideas, like the new hearse ideas and all that, have come from, like, my brother. He was a veteran for a long time. He wanted to do something to give back to the veteran community. So that Dodge ambulance hearse that you see kind of driving around town, it's painted in the memorial downtown. All that was basically his idea. So.
Okay. Dodge hearse. Okay. What does that look like? I know I've seen some fancy cars parked at different churches and things. Is that what you have?
It's like the ambulance in MASH.
Okay.
Yep.
The movie MASH.
Yep. So
the show, yep.
Yep.
Okay. It was actually Korean War era. And on the Marion County building downtown, when they had the tribute to the Korean War, they actually used an ambulance as the subject there. And if you see that painting there, that is a painting of that ambulance there.
Okay.
And we were there then for the Korean War Celebration, and a lot of the veterans there were able to have their pictures taken with that, and we do provide that for our veterans.
What's going on with this thing?
It has been converted to be used as a hearse then for veteran services.
I don't know what that is.
Maybe.
Well, something.
Is that okay?
Something. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I'm not a tech. And, you know, when I'm left with these type of situations, I'm clueless.
Yeah.
No, volume up or down or something like that, you know. So, what are the questions you get asked mostly?
You know, one of the most prominent things that we get asked is what next? And I think that kind of goes back to what my mom was talking about with prearranging everything and just having those talks of, you know, about what's going to happen when somebody passes away. And it's pretty straightforward. You know, when somebody passes, whether it's a hospital or at a residence, they have to have either the hospice nurse, you know, be at the scene to pronounce somebody, you know, has passed, and then they give us a call when they're ready for them to take them into our care, or when we're ready to take them into our care.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, what next?
Yeah, and then usually there's, you know, an ask of a time to come in and make arrangements. If there's prearrangements or anything like that, we kind of look over the file and make sure that they want to do some of the same things that they had maybe prearranged maybe 10 years ago or something like that. And then we kind of finalize all that and start ordering, you know, different service materials.
Okay. Wow.
And one thing I always hear from families that were like, thank goodness that, you know, Mom had a lot of this stuff taken care of ahead of time. It made it so much easier for us because we knew what she wanted and it didn't leave us in a financial strain. So that's something that we do hear a lot. So when you say what's next, you know, I'd say what's first?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's an appropriate question to ask. What is first?
Yeah, so, you know, we ask a lot of times, you know, people say, gosh, you know, it's funerals are kind of expensive. Well, everything's expensive these days.
Right,
tell me. And it's not just the funeral, it's just everything involved with everything. We have a lot of things that we're required to do, a lot of things that people want to do that, you know, and we want to provide everyone a chance to do what they want to do and not just what, you know, you have to, you know, what, you know, we don't want to make people do things that they don't want to do because they can't afford to do something else. I'm like, plan for those things.
Okay.
You know.
So you do have options available for people.
Many options.
Services. And that's good because, like you said, we're not all not rich. Some of us are not prepared, you know, for these things to happen. So is that your only career right now, working there?
I guess officially, yes. We've kind of started up some different LLCs now that we're trying to get financially, I guess, savvy with kind of understanding how the world works. We've actually started a property management company, and then I do photography and film.
Oh, okay. Going Hollywood or local?
No, just local. Just trying to help out local.
That's
business.
Good, though. That's real good. What about you?
Right now, we're currently getting a house up and ready for to have rented out, and then we just bought the certified across the street as well.
Oh, so that's what happened to certified. Yeah. Okay.
So we bought that. We're going to get that back open here soon. So that's kind of where I'm at. I guess focusing most of my time is working on those two projects.
Okay. Will that function as it was before a gas station?
Yeah, we won't have gas as of right now, but it'll still be a convenience store.
Okay, convenience store. All right. I guess that was a smart move. Did you also buy the house across the street?
Yep,
I mean, right next door to it?
Yep, that's the house that I'm working on now. We bought that about 4 years ago.
I noticed there were new windows and things in there.
Yeah, slowly getting it together.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you young men are moving right along, huh?
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that your only profession?
That and the funeral home right now. I coach high school football.
Bass fishing.
Oh, well, I mean, you usually got to make money for it to be your profession. I spend a lot more than I make in terms of fishing, but...
Oh, okay. That's your hobby, right?
Yeah.
Fishing is your hobby. Okay.
We do snow removal. So with our management company, we just started off. We do home repairs, one of the things he ran into was just a difficult time trying to find people to come out and just kind of do some of the things around the house. Lucky enough, my father-in-law moved down here, and that's what he's done his whole life. So him and I have been kind of doing that and kind of seeing where that goes. So it's only been officially open for a couple weeks now, but we're just kind of getting the word and stuff out there about that. If anybody needs any handiwork or anything like that done, just to reach out to us. It's called the Presidential Property Management.
Okay. Of course, we have to... We're not soundproof. I think we're going to be working on it, though, but it's very annoying. But
I understand.
Yeah, it's very annoying. But so I know you talked about being a coach for... I don't know if I want to get into that right now. Which school?
Harding. I coach at Harding.
Coach at Harding. Okay. I don't know if I want to talk about that this hour or not. Well, let me ask you this. Did you come prepared to do 2 hours?
We didn't really know what to prepare for, so we're just kind of, you know, open
here.
Book. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, great. Great, great, great. Okay, so are you married?
No.
You're not married?
I have a girlfriend who lives with me, but we're not married yet. So.
Oh, not yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet. Not yet.
Working
on it. Okay. That does take time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wisdom. Be prepared for it. You know, we do a singles ministry at our church. Let me think of the name of the church. It's one of them. Today is my Monday. Okay. I'm usually on Mondays, but then I switch me to Wednesdays and Thursdays. But the Gathering Place out by Save-A-Lot.
Okay.
That's the church we go to. We have a singles ministry, and we will be having a jazz night out October the 15th, and it will be at the Harding Hotel.
Okay.
Okay. And the lounge area where the couches and everything are. So I can let you know about it if you're interested in coming.
Yeah.
It should be nice. So, yeah, bring your girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, what questions should I ask about that business, the funeral home? So once a person has expired and their loved ones contact you, so are you prepared?
Well, I would start there. A lot of times their loved ones will contact us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for people to know that we cannot come and take your loved one until someone of authority, like the nurse, that the hospice nurse is called, the sheriff is called, the doctor. So a lot of times, just because they contact us, we're not allowed just to come pick that person up. There has to be someone there that has the authority to pronounce the death and then have them released into our care.
Right.
So I know a lot of, we'll get phone calls from people, you know, they're ready to go, and then I have to explain that to them. They're like, well, unfortunately, you either got to call the sheriff and let them know that so-and-so has passed away, they're going to stop out. As long as everything's okay, then they'll reach out to us and let us know that it's okay for us to come.
Right. I guess that is the first place to start, right?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Step one, where we're going with our loved one.
Yeah.
Even if they're at the hospital, they can't just call us. The hospital, they have a protocol there that somebody, you know, has to, certain people have to call us even from the hospitals.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a nursing home or, you know.
Right,
chaplain
right.
Or someone of that authority to be able to make that call. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Because there are other funeral homes in Marion also. So, how old is Boyd's Funeral Home?
The company's over 100 years old. We started over in Mount Victory, Ohio, and then we moved to LaRue, and then we moved to Marion in the 20s.
1927, but we've been actually operating the family since 1922, which is 100 years this year.
Wow. Long, thriving business, and it doesn't look like you're going to be going out of business anytime soon either. And I was talking to my daughter, and I let her know that you were going to be my guest today. And she was saying, have you seen an increase in death?
Yeah, the last 2 years has kind of been a fog or a haze, I guess, whatever you want to describe it as, with COVID and everything, with, you know, the rising number of fatalities that's kind of happened throughout the nation. So in that aspect, there has been an uptick, I guess, in people passing. now that that's kind of gone down and maybe there's some herd immunity or the vaccines are working the way they're supposed to be, we're not seeing a whole lot of COVID fatalities anymore.
Right.
But there is a couple that seem to kind of pop up every now and again still that would be outside of, you know, a normal passing.
Right, right. Yeah, because people are still getting COVID. A friend of mine, she told me yesterday she tested positive for COVID. I went on a trip the end of May to visit my sister. I came back with COVID, you know, and a couple other, it was maybe four or five of us who went to Georgia, and we all came back with COVID. And we're trying to figure out, well, who started it?
Yeah.
You know, where'd it come from, you know? But it's still around. Yeah. It is definitely still around. So, but I'm glad that deaths have slowed down, because that was kind of out of hand nationwide, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think we were fully prepared to kind of see something like that. It was the first time that a lot of our generations that are walking around now have actually seen something quite like that happen. So I think it was a learning process for everybody.
And other areas really got inundated more so than this area. And I know Marcus, he's also a crematory operator, and he went to California on two separate occasions to help keep the cremations going, because they were having to keep like an extra shift going to keep up with the demand there.
Okay. Well, I guess you have to do what you have to do to make things easier, more functionable for you. I guess now that we've left the hospital and the body is in your care, I'm not going to even think that this is eerie, but there's a process that you have to go through, right, as far?
Usually when we show, the first thing that we'd like to know, usually the main thing that I'm trying to figure out when I do pick up the person or the family is there, is whether or not we're going to have the preservation process, the embalming. And I'd like to let people know that you can still have a cremation and have a traditional funeral. The only thing that separates a traditional funeral from just a cremation is that once the funeral's over, instead of going to the cemetery, everyone at that point would go on to the repast or something like that, so we don't go to the cemetery. But you can still have, you can still go to the churches. We have what we call them rental caskets.
Mm-hmm.
So the insides are completely redone for each person that comes in. A lot of times nobody will know that the person's not being buried. Like I said, there's nothing that really suggests that it's a cremation taking place. But I always like to let people know that cremation is just the final thing that happened. It doesn't have to be the only.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means they're able to have a showing and all that of mm-hmm. their loved one, and that happens afterwards.
And so, even after a cremation, you can still do a burial for cremated remains.
What I'm saying is that the showing and things would happen, like the person would still be there.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be prior to the cremation, you could have the showing or the visitation, and then actually have a funeral, and then after that, we'd have the cremation take place.
So how old is that? Should I say technique or cremation?
Thousands of years.
Very, very old.
Been around a long time. Actually, cremation started in India. They used to do open flame cremations, so they would have fields and things like that where mm-hmm. people would go, and then people who had the authority to run those cremations would actually do that, and that's how it kind of got started. And then we've kind of modernized it by getting retorts and all that kind of stuff put in place to kind of make it more of a standardized practice.
Okay. Wow, thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
In India. Okay. Because someone has said, well, maybe the Jews or the Israelites had started that cremation, but
I don't know if there's a real answer as to who
started it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you know, but
it's just been going on forever across different cultures.
Yeah.
Like that.
There you go. Different cultures. Because I think I remember they were burying their loved ones in caves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The children of Israel were.
Yeah. And then you got the Egyptians with mummification and all that stuff. So, it's been around just as long as people have been. So.
So is that something that still goes on, mummification? I mean, it's...
Well, what I would say is mummification, generally, essentially they were being embalmed. That was their way of preserving the people that they had.
Right.
They took what they could do in terms of removing the organs and things like that. And then when you stored them in cool areas, it allowed for the bodies to kind of do that for the state, and they became mummified. But essentially they were just people that they preserved that were put in the right environment to be preserved for as long as they have been.
And they had that knowledge, you know, that capability of doing that, like the mummies, King Tut and all those, how they're still kind of preserved to a certain extent, you know. Well, they were pretty smart back in those days, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we, like I said, the process, the only thing that's really changed is instead of doing wraps and shrouds, we just try to do, you know, chemical preservatives and things like that that kind of help from the inside out, so.
And I guess that lead me to my other point that I would tell people. I know direct cremations and things like that are on the rise, not just at our funeral home, but across the funeral industry as a whole. And I understand that money does have a lot to play into that. But what I would tell people that just want to have a direct cremation, they don't need anything else, I would argue that they do need something else. And the reason that I would argue that is since humans have been around, we have felt the need to do something. If you go back to, you know, Jesus, you know, when he rose his friend Lazarus up, I mean, there was things that occurred with that. People wanted that moment. People wanted to gather. You go over even to the Vikings, you know what I mean, and like their funerals and things they had like that. So the idea of honoring your loved one is not new at all.
Yeah.
The idea of your loved one passing away and that's just it, that's very new.
Yeah.
And to me,
and it's disturbing, I think.
I've never had anybody that's had a funeral. I mean, there are some financial strains, and like I said, I understand that. I've never had anybody that had a funeral that regretted having a funeral.
Yeah.
But I have met a lot of people that just had the cremation and didn't have a viewing, they didn't have anything where their families came in, and they regret that. Because that's the other side of it. It seems to be anymore with our culture, families tend to only get together for weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And one of the number one things that you'll hear is, we got to stop meeting like this. And yeah, that's true.
But at least they're meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if we take that away,
it'll just be weddings. And we know weddings are on the decline as well. So here pretty soon, the big things that always brought a lot of the families together
Are kind of splitting us up.
That, and the opportunity to have your loved ones and your friends to be around you when you're going through a tough time. I know a lot of people that just have direct cremations and things like that where they don't have their friends come in. They don't have their family come in. They feel very, very alone and isolated. We have Pastor Nathan that works for us down there at the funeral home, and he said that he was called by God to get into the funeral industry because he said there's the biggest disconnect where they lose a lot of people at church is after funerals. He said because the person has had someone they've lost, and then it feels like the church, a lot of times they're like, we don't want to smother people, we don't want to be, you know, all in their business too much right now.
Right, right.
But a lot of times the other side of that is they feel as if people have kind of like turned their back on them.
Right.
And so his goal when we brought him on, he said, is trying to close the gap between the church and how people deal with death.
Yeah, that's big. That's really big. You know, and I was thinking when I lost my husband, 30 years ago, I don't hardly remember anything. You know, I don't. Who was there to console me or to help me? It was just, like you say, a foggy time, you know, and it had to be people around me to help me through that time, you know, whether I remember them all or not. I just know that I made it through. My children made it through, and, unexpected, you know, not prepared mentally, physically, or financially, none of that, but it happened. The process has to take place, you know.
And one of the things that I truly believe that helps that process is having things taken care of ahead of time. The families that I meet with that have taken care of things ahead of time, I'll normally start off and I'll talk with them. You know, I normally say, like, you know, I don't want you to feel like we're being rushed. I said, but everything's done. I said, if you'd like, I can show you the things that they picked out. Essentially, all I need you to do is let me know what time that you'd like to have the visitation and the funeral service. We'll coordinate with the pastors and make sure that we can do that. And then we can talk about the obituary.
Yeah.
And then normally, within, a lot of times with that, within 20 minutes, I mean, as fun as it sounds to hang out with funeral directors, not too many people like to hang out with us.
Yeah.
So if they can.
And we're nice people, really.
Yeah. I do remember that. I was a part of the process of, you know, the doing obituary and things like that, but And with your help, it was easily and efficient and quickly taken care of, you know. Then you leave, and then you have to deal with the fact, now I got to prepare for the last, the very last of your loved one. And that's not, I think that's the hardest part. You kind of make it easy in between that time from the actual death and the hospital and all that, but that last day, that actual day, but then you're very attentive to the family, and that has to be a big comfort to everybody. And
another thing that I think is really healing for families is getting together like a video. We do make them in-house, but even if we don't make them, just the idea of everybody getting together and going through old photos and looking at all the good times that maybe they had together, maybe things that they forgot about, or looking at, you know, oh gosh, look at so-and-so. Oh, you remember when we did this and that? And it really brings back a lot of good times that they had together, and memories of that person that they've lost. And that's what we want to remember.
Right.
And I remember doing that even with my own parents, and that really helped me a lot go through that. And I just lost my significant other recently, and it was...
I'm sorry to hear that.
Again, very, very nice to be able to gather those pictures and make a nice video, something to share.
Calling memories, and one of the big things that I always, you know, tell families, especially because now we're moving into more of a modern technology when it comes to, you know, our speaker systems and things like that, a lot of times the younger, you know, family members will say, hey, you know, we have a couple songs you'd like to have played, you know, and I say, okay, do you have, you know, like a Spotify or a playlist or something like that? I mean, because if you get something like that and bring that into us, you can sit there, you know, for the next 2-3 days with your family and go through all the songs that you remember, you know, so-and-so playing, and that kind of has another moment where it kind of brings people together. So while you're looking at photos, putting music together, it kind of creates this healing kind of moment.
Well, that's neat.
And then a lot of times what I tell people in terms of funerals is funerals happen because of the passing of a loved one. But the funerals are not for the loved one that has passed. Funerals are for those of us that are here, and it's the idea of making sure that we feel all right, that we're able to continue without having that person around.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. They're gone.
Yeah.
Thoughts are gone. They can't hear us, see us.
Yeah, but their thoughts and then everything that they stood for, their livelihood, the things that they were able to teach people and even connect with throughout life, that is kind of what, in essence, a funeral is. It kind of brings little parts of that person's livelihood, whether it be friend, brother, you know, brother in Christ, whatever it is, kind of brings everyone together so they get the full picture of who that person was.
Many times I've had people tell me, when I die, just put me in the ground or just cremate me, put me in a box. I don't want any fanfare. Don't spend any money on me. You know, just, I don't want people looking at me in a casket. I don't, you know, all this stuff. And I said, I hope that you'll reconsider before that. Or even if you don't reconsider, I hope your family reconsiders or goes against that wish, because it isn't for you.
Right.
It's not about you at that time. It's about them. And you will be doing your family a big disservice.
True.
If you do not allow them to have that time and to have that special moment to grieve and to mourn and to have a public expression.
Right.
They need that.
Yes, so do. We're out of time for this hour.
Okay,
hopefully
thank
they
you.
Will remain with us for the second hour. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. To legendary attorney and representative of clients such as...